the two members of the master race, their puppies, and get to feeling better, Billy Shears. We're thinking about you. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. NFL quarterback Michael Vick has agreed to plead guilty to federal dogfighting charges. The strategy allows him to skirt more serious charges had the case gone before a grand jury. No one is quite sure what the Falcons, or the NFL for that matter, will do with his eligibility to play ball, but the Atlanta Humane Society knows what to do with his jerseys. Ashamed fans have been donating them, and shelter staff have put them in the towel rotation to clean kennels and use for bedding. The east coast of the Yucatan Peninsula is bracing for huge waves and ferocious winds as Hurricane Dean cruises westward across the Caribbean. 90,000 tourists have already fled the resort area. Extra planes are coming to get the rest. By the time the storm hits the coast, it is forecast to become a Category 5 with winds in excess of 156 miles per hour. 8 people have already been killed that were in the storm's path in Jamaica. In a sign of thawing relations between the U.S. and France, Foreign Minister Bernard Kouchner is visiting Baghdad to meet with Iraqi leaders. Despite an Interpol-issued arrest warrant, Jordanian authorities say that they will not deport Saddam Hussein's oldest daughter. Iraqi authorities say that she is funneling money to violent Sunni militants in Iraq. Jordan is primarily Sunni. The second of two political leaders has been assassinated in the past 9 days in southern Iraq. A senior Shiite official said the intersectarian battles are going on to settle scores prior to next year's elections. While passengers were disembarking a China Air jetliner after arrival at the Naha Airport in Okinawa, Japan today, it suddenly burst into flame. Miraculously, everyone got off the plane uninjured. The Boeing 737 had only been in service for 5 years. Peruvian authorities have given up finding any more bodies from last week's earthquake. More than 540 victims have been recovered. Officials are now working to stop looting and assist the tens of thousands left homeless. In Minneapolis, another body was recovered Sunday from the collapsed bridge ruins. The death toll now stands at 12. Crandall Canyon coal mine officials say the 6 miners trapped for 2 weeks are likely dead and may never be recovered. And the billionaire that gave vast amounts to charity, yet nickel-and-dimed merchants, contractors, and the IRS has died, Leona Helmsley was 87. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
A very old wad of gum has been found by students in western Finland. Archaeologists say the Stone Age piece of birch bark tar was most likely used to fix things such as broken dishes and arrowheads. It's been discovered that the online knowledge library, Wikipedia, which can be edited by anyone, is in fact being tweaked by business officials that want a better spin on their company's images. Wikiscanner traces the source of the entries. Lowe's, the number two improvement chain, posted its second quarter profit numbers, and sales beat Wall Street expectations with a 5.8% gain. Capital One Financial Corporation is paring off its wholesale mortgage unit, Greenpoint Mortgage, eliminating 1,900 jobs immediately. The company will shut its 31 Greenpoint offices across 19 states and its California-based headquarters. Countrywide Financial has begun laying off some of its mortgage originators. Last week, there was a run on their retail branches by depositors who feared their FDIC-insured accounts would evaporate. The report is in from the leading economic indicators, which showed a 0.4% increase in growth for July. That means growth for the rest of the year, but at a slower pace. The Dow closed on a high note today, up 42 at 13,121. NASDAQ was up 4 at 2508, and the S&P 500 was flat at 1445. Oil is off 86 cents at 71.12 a barrel. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
And would have afforded Mr. Libby and others preferential.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbolt.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 26 of Strictly Confidential. I'm your host, Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. I am so sorry I could not be with you yesterday evening. I was joking with the studio earlier today, and I had plotted that I was going to tell you that I was out of Aquanet and that there was no way I was going to do a show with Ben. But we decided not to do that, and we ought to just tell you the truth. And that is that the storm from hell came through here yesterday afternoon. Shortly after 5 o'clock, there was a lightning strike. The thunder was so loud, the windows rattled, and Doggy looked at me funny, and we both were a bit concerned. Everything survived. The power went out for about a minute following that. Everything survived, but the broadband connection. There was no broadband for the rest of the evening. I stayed in front of the computer till about 8:30, and finally I just nodded out. You know, us folks. I can't say I'm old anymore because they beat me up in the chat room. But us with a longer tip of life, we folk sometimes fall asleep in front of the computer screen, and I finally dozed off about 8:30 last night. And I did miss you guys. But everything is all well today. When I got up this morning, we had broadband. It's been sort of a strange day. Lots of stuff going on. Well, work-related, I will admit to you, I have been more organized than I am tonight. But nonetheless, we have a great show coming up, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests. You'll find links to amazing chat room, which has some of the most how should I describe you guys, some of the wittiest creatures on the web are located at the Head On Radio Network chat room. You'll find a link to the chat room at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links to all of the guests, and you'll find links to the main network site. There you can find out all about the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. There are also links to the audio archives as well. If you've missed a show you'd like to catch, there have been and will continue to be some wonderful guests on this show. There's also a link to the MySpace page. Yes, in fact, there is a MySpace page, The Confidential. And by the way, if you got an alert on the in MySpace from Strictly Confidential regarding our guest this evening, the time has changed. Our guest this evening is a candidate His name is Jeff Anderson. Jeff is running for city council seat in Duluth, Minnesota. The original listing that we sent out through MySpace indicated he would be with us at 9 o'clock. That has changed to 10 o'clock. Jeff will be joining us at the top of the next hour, and an amazing man he is. I will tell you all about him when he comes on. Jeff is continuing in our series of GLBT Can across the country. If you recall, we recently had Kevin Beckner on from Hillsborough County in South Florida. He's running for Hillsborough County District 6, the commissioner, District 6. A recent statement from the national the GLBT task force was such that we can, I wholeheartedly agree, we can continue to count on an almost daily assault from the Christian right, hate speech and misinformation. We can continue to count on the Republican candidates with their cracks and trying to pass laws to constitutionally ban us from existence. Continue to count on those things. We can also continue to count on the Democrats remaining absolutely silent about it, unless, of course, they are asked a direct question. When they're asked a direct question regarding supporting the GLBT community, they, of course, in guarded terms, will go about defending us in some way. So it's quite apparent at this point in time that if we're going to get anything done, we're damn well going to have to do it ourselves. And so this is why we're going to continue having candidates. I don't care if you're running for dog catcher, but we're going to continue to have guests who are candidates around this country. And believe me, you, there are a lot of them, because we need to support each and every one of them as best we can. Some of them, if you're in their area, by voting. Some of them by contributing. And by the way, you can find information about all of the candidates from the GLBT community by visiting a website called victoryfund.org. That's victoryfund.org. On that page, you can explore the candidates and look at their election scorecard. They endorse candidates who can and will win. They endorse GLBT folks who are qualified and committed, and it is a great website. And that is how we are locating our guests for this series of candidates. Indeed, the toll-free telephone numbers are in operation. The telephone number to reach the show is 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877, the number 4, head on. Or if you use 877-443-2366, if you have a unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia, and you'll save the studio a nickel. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. That's Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I do try to check the email during breaks. I don't remember, but I try. I do try. And Doggy tries too, don't you, sweetheart? Yes, she thinks I'm talking to myself. She's used to this time of the evening when I go completely insane and begin talking to myself. Where shall we begin? I've originally planned on starting with Jeff. We moved that, which is not a problem. There's lots of things to talk about with Jeff, but it leaves me with where to begin. And I think that what we shall do. Oh, thank you, Lana J. That story is in. I'm talking to one of my chatters now. You have to understand that the chat room is the visual part of this radio program. Well, I wish you could. You may not be in a position we can join us in chat, but it is the visual representation of the show, and I'm constantly getting little remarks from those people. And yes, thank you, Lottie. That particular story is actually the second or third story down, so I'm going to do that one first. The chat room requests that I do Rome's Gay Kissin'. Praise the Lord. An amazing story indeed. And in this story, if you'll recall, there was a couple who was arrested in front of the Colosseum, if I recall, kissing. And they were, they went in like Gestapo. I mean, they had, where's the information here? They had three squad come down on them and seven armed paramilitary men in uniform, and they burst into the scene like, a G-Men in a 1940s flick. It was an amazing thing indeed. These guys were kissing. It was late at night, and today's coverage explains that it was a pretty romantic place. I mean, it's a good place to kiss. But they were arrested and put in jail, and they're going to be charged with, indecency or creating a public disturbance. In any case, it's fairly obvious that it's harassment. And the GLBT community there is up in arms. Let me tell you, they are not pleased with this, and so they have staged a kiss-in where at least 1,000 lesbians, God, you've got to love those lesbians, and the gay guys, they all joined in a mass kiss-in. No doubt there were some trans there, too, and they were just maintaining their cover. But it was a mass kiss-in. It lasted, it was Thursday evening. It was an amazing rally. And it was to counter this arrest. You see, there's no videotape of this arrest. There's no record of it. There's only, by record, I mean there's no way to prove it. It's their word against the police's word is what it boils down to. And Roberto, he's 27, and Michael, he's 28. That's the gay couple, and they were not, the last names haven't been given out, but they were dressed in an appropriate fashion. They were just merely kissing, and suddenly all hell broke loose. Now, since they were arrested, and since there's a huge outcry, oh, now, all of a sudden, the story from the police department all changes. Oh, yes, it all changes. Now they weren't just, you see, first they were just kissing. Oh, no, now they're not just kissing. Now they had their pants down, and they were performing fellatio, and the police were saying, oh, that they would have arrested a straight couple if they had seen them do that, too. Oh, yeah, very, very intense now that the heat is on. And you see, this is going to come out to be so. See, one side or the other is going down hard. Either the police department with their Gestapo-type raid or this couple. This is such a huge, prominent news story at this point in Rome, that there's no way it's just going to go away. There's a fellow, I'm still the same story, I haven't moved on. There's an openly gay officer, an MP, his name is Franco, last name Italian, hard to pronounce, and he was a former of Archigay. Now, Archigay is like the GLBT community, one of the main organizations over there. And he's been complaining for a long time about the police overreaction, just going off the top because of stuff like this. And also at the kiss-in, there was a moment of silence, actually a full minute, for a transsexual who had been murdered just 2 days previously. The ministers from the center-left cabinet and the political bureau in Italy have endorsed the kiss-in and are complaining about the unjust arrests. The politicians are all weighing on it. Boy, this is huge. I wish something like this would happen in the U.S. Can you imagine? You know, what is it about this country that we just don't do stuff? I mean, since Stonewall, we just never do anything. And, you know, with the stolen elections down in Mexico, I mean, they took to the streets. They were rioting and carrying on. The stolen elections here in the United States, everybody just sat home and watched their TV. Of course, this puts me in the category with the new Bush law that I could be possibly instigating open revolution, so I expect my door to be kicked in at any minute. You know, we're no longer free in this country, but the people who watch mainstream television think we are. Oh, yes. It's never changed, do they? Tell you what, let's go to break, and we'll do that. Let's see, I have something to say here. As we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free, 877-4 Head-On, and I'm your host, Peter Godbull, streaming exclusively on the Head-On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America.
America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, 10 to 11 a.m. weekdays, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm V.
And I'm John.
And we're from Fierce, a community organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning youth of color in New York City.
For many years, the Christian Fellowship here has been a place for our community, a space where we can all go and be ourselves.
A space where healthcare providers can come and provide free HIV testing and information to other services.
However, these services and safe space are being threatened.
To become a member of Fierce and help keep our Christopher Pierce safe for queer and trans people, contact us at 646-336-6789 or visit our website at fiercenyc.org.
That is Rainbow, and I am very pleased to play that because that song just came to my attention, specifically from our dear friend Preston in Denver. If you'll recall, Preston phoned the other evening, and Preston told me about a new movie, or at least I'm not sure when it came out, but it was new to me, and it apparently it was new to him. It's a movie called Small Town Gay Bar. You can find out about it at www.smalltowngaybar.com. That's smalltowngaybar.com. The track that you just heard, which I asked the studio to come out of break with that track, is from me, along with a lot of other good music. But this is truly an amazing movie. What we're talking about here in this movie are two gay bars, mostly one, but there are actually two gay bars in the middle of nowhere in rural Mississippi. And I got to tell you, it's rough. The American Family Association blocking a bridge that you have to take to get to the bar. The American Family Association writing down the tag numbers of folks who are trying to go to have a good time, and then publishing those tag numbers in the morning newspaper, and collecting folks' names by looking up their records, their son, I can't begin to tell you. The movie wasn't all depressing, though. Wonderful information and wonderful, the folks that, such a spirit of courage, And the speech, the things they were saying regarding a spirit of community and what it meant to them to have a club that they could go to. I mean, you know, people go, oh, well, everybody just goes to bars. Why don't you people do anything else? Well, hell, you can't get into churches and places like that. you certainly can't be yourself at the shopping mall, at the Winn-Dixie or the Piggly Wiggly. You have to do that behind closed doors in the rural South, I'm here to tell you. Well, this open stuff. Anyway, the movie is amazing. I highly recommend that you see this documentary. It's the winner of many awards, Sundance Awards, several categories. I'm sorry I don't have the site in front of me. You can see that on the site. But again, that's smalltowngaybar.com. That track, Homo Rainbow, as well as many other tracks are in it. But it's not a movie about music. It's a movie about their experiences. And in this movie, they talk about someone that we talked about a few weeks ago. I don't know if you noticed when I was telling that segment, I had to pause for a moment because tears were welling up. It was a very disturbing segment for me to do. And it was about the young man who was tied up in his mobile home. They knew this fellow. He's from that area. He was tied up in his mobile home and tortured for a period of 2 hours. He was burned with cigarettes. His head was partly sliced off of his body. This all took place over a two-hour period. Lots of physical body trauma. His body was then taken outside and burned. And the man who did this thought he was doing the right thing. Actually went to the police department and told them he did it. I just killed a queer. That son of a bitch came on to me as if he were going to get an award or something. God Almighty. And very disturbing to talk about this. His mother, this man's mother, is in this small town gay bar, and she talks about her son, and it's all very disturbing. I strongly recommend that you see Small Town Gay Bar. I know it's available on Netflix. I'm not sure if it's available at sure as hell not available at the Winn-Dixie in Mississippi. I'm not sure if it's available at Blockbuster, but it very likely is because it won so many Sundance Awards. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that. And thank you, Preston, in Denver, for telling us about that movie. I have seen it, and it is remarkable, and I love that track, Homo Rainbow. I just love it. I'm going to slip that in anywhere I get a chance to slip it in. Amazing track. And I just love this chat room. People are so up on the news. You know, when I do news, they're not listening to it for news. They're listening to it to see if I get it right, because they already know. Oh, when you do an evening show, these people they already know what's going on. Love these people, and I love all you guys. I want to tell you about what's going on in Manchester, Kentucky. A fellow named John Becknell. Now, he walks into the courtroom, and he sits down at his standard spot, and it's in the front row, just behind the prosecutor's table. Now, Becknell is a devout Christian, and he's known Brother Jim. You know, these days we always have to put the word Christian in quotation marks because nobody knows what the hell the word means anymore. Whether it means, you know, you're a freaking, you know, son of Satan and you're out there trying to control the world and make sure everybody follows the rule of law. Accusing, but you know in the Bible, like, Satan is referred to as the accuser. That's one of his names in the Bible. And that's what these people do. The ones that we have to quote Christian their names is what they constantly do. They accuse. They accuse people of homosexuality and divorce. Oh, it's all so damn petty. It makes my head spin. But anyway, enough of that. But anyway, Brother John sits down there and he pulls his pen and pencil out and has got himself a printout of the docket. And he sits there for the full 3 hours in the courtroom. And he takes notes, you see, on the judge's actions, everything the judges do. He takes notes on the attendance of which police officers are there. And he takes notes of who's a repeat offender, and he makes notes of who's a first-time offender, and he makes notes about what the judges sentenced them to. He makes very careful note about all of these things, this Christian man. And why does he do this, you ask? In order to make sure they are treated fairly? In order so that they can go to the prisons and jails and bring them Bibles? Oh, no. It's to make sure drug offenders in eastern Kentucky are getting what they deserve. Yes, that's right. It's a new outreach from the church. It's called Burn in Hell, You Freaking Drug Users. See, they've become frustrated with widespread drug use. Here we find out it's especially about easily accessible prescription painkillers. Now, you know, it's funny that they're going at folks in eastern Kentucky. I mean, why not go after the preacher that was busted the other day in a dress with his skirt hiked up over his head at the car wash with an empty bottle of OxyContin under the seat and a bottle of vodka next to him? Oh, that's not mentioned. Now, just the poor people in eastern Kentucky. How about Rush Limbaugh with the fact that he just about went deaf sucking down those narcotics? Oh, no, it's just the folks around here. Now, see, them people, they can afford their habit. But you see, now the junkies around here, they ain't got that much money, so they're stealing from us. So we're going to make sure they get locked up. We're not trying to find out to bring them a Bible. Oh, no. No. Oh, Jesus. So they're moving away from their role as a refuge for the poor. No, none of that stuff anymore. No support for the addicted. They're just interested in law enforcement. Now, the Community Church of Manchester is leading the way in this court watch. It's got a little name. They've named it Court Watch. And various volunteers attend the court hearings to monitor the judges and oversee drug-related cases. Lord have mercy. This guy Becknell, the one that sits behind the prosecutor, he runs the church's local Christian television station, too. And he's concerned that a lot of churches shun getting involved in politics or going to court. The Reverend Doug Abner, who's the pastor there at the community church. Now, by the way, that church's slogan for the 2004 anti-drug march, yes, they had a march, honey. Not gay pride, it was anti-drugs. Their drug march was titled Get Saved or Get Busted. And they say that the court watchers put mild, it's a quote, mild pressure on judges to do the right thing. Lord have mercy. What that means is they're compiling a list of judges who lock people up forever versus the judges that give out probation or perhaps being the offender being sent to a drug rehab facility, and not necessarily at the expense of the state. Sometimes these folks are sentenced to drug rehab facilities if they can afford it, you know, that they pay for. Sometimes it's at the expense of the state. Other times it's probation. It all varies. But you're not supposed to do that, or you'll end up on the church's list. Well, no, judges are many times elected. And come election time, you're not a judge anymore unless you beat the hell out of these drug-addicted people. Now, the program is concerning some people of faith, and they say it goes against Christian values. Well, duh. Now, these are the real questions, the ones that we don't have to, quote, mark around when we say it. They're saying some of the churches, Reverend John Ross, he's the director, by the way, way to go Catholics. He's the director of the Catholic Committee on Appalachia. He's saying that churches have traditionally been the humanitarian influence in this society, and churches should focus on drug counseling and ministering to inmates. And he cites the Gospel of Matthew 25:36 concerning the final judgment. And Matthew 25:36 contains the verse, "When I was in prison, you came to see me." And it also goes on, "When I was hungry, you fed me." And other examples. But no more. The church has got a new punishment ministry. That's what we got, punishment ministry. Now, this community church is 95 miles south of Lexington. And there's some discussion about separation of church and state, but there's no reason, he says, why congregants should stay away from the criminal justice system. And he says there's no reason why churches and courts can't work together to combat drug offenders. Work together, meaning we don't elect you unless you beat the hell out of them. And the church says we are a major part of mountain life. Why shut us out of this institution? Because, you sons of bitches, you're supposed to be a ministry. That's why you're... Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord. He says good people are sitting back and doing nothing about drug use, and we're standing up and we're making sure that the courts are going to combat it, and we have an influence in this community. And Lord have mercy. Well, enough about that. Nasty little story there. Plenty more where that came from. Don't worry. Don't worry, my honeys. There's plenty more nasty stories where that came from. I specialize in them. That's about all I've got to tell you. There is something encouraging, though. Let's see. Where is that one? I'll get to it. Maybe a page or two down. Here we go. This is something good. Someone made me aware of this today, and I thank them for it. I don't often get to do good news, but it's actually good news regarding a transsexual. Male sports writer returns to work as a woman. Now, this goes back to April 26. Mike Penner is the name, wrote what he thought was going to be the toughest article in his career. He wrote, "I'm a transsexual sports writer, and it's taken me more than 40 years and a million tears and hundreds of hours of soul searching and therapy for me to work up courage to type these words." And the piece ran in the sports section next to his regular column. And the interest was astounding. The LA Times says that by mid-evening, the story was one of the most heavily viewed stories in the LATimes.com site in the last year, with about 500 million page views. There was a massive response to the story, not only to the website, but also across the entire media spectrum, including people who actually write on paper, whatever that is. And anyway, he returned to work as Christine Michelle Daniels. And so far, that's right, smooth sailing. His very public trans has put spotlight on that culture, the culture culture may be the wrong word, but on that situation. And you know, the fact that he's changing and he has changed into a she and it is now complete and that he has done it publicly and he has done it, she has done in the sports world is truly amazing. The concept was to come out publicly, and so they let her actually write the stories and to introduce it as a topic, because that way she would have more control over it. And the people who read her columns are mostly just like, well, you know, yeah, okay, so that's cool. Now, what's going to happen with their favorite team next week? The sports blogs are expressing almost uniform admiration for the courage. And overall, the people who read these sports blogs are just, you know, mildly bemused, like, you know, yeah, no problem. Now, what's up, you know, with the Angels? Get back to your job. and this is as it should be. This is the world as it should be. It's always so surprising to read where something doesn't turn into a murder or someone trying to take away their insurance rights, their insurance benefits for their employer. It's always amazing to me when something actually works out along these lines. It's her bravery. It's really something special. She revealed it to her supervisor, who was a sports editor, Randy Harvey, that she was transitioning, and he said, "Well, you go ahead and write the piece. We want you to go ahead and handle this." And see, in the majority of states, being fired would have been a very distinct probability. If you recall, well, maybe you don't recall, I'm not sure if I covered this very deeply because it occurred before Strictly Confidential began airing, but in February, the city of Largo, Florida, fired its city manager of 14 years after he revealed that he was going to undergo sex reassignment surgery. And oh, did they scream and yell, and oh, did they, suddenly this commended man who had risen to a high level in government. The city manager, by the way, he was well paid and had raises and constantly had good reviews, was well loved by the citizens, and on and on and on and on. Oh, all suddenly he was awful. Oh, all of a sudden he was terrible. All of a sudden he was picking on his employees. All of a sudden he had mood problems at work and couldn't get along. You know, same old story. And that's because Largo, Florida doesn't have any control. You can fire anybody for doing something like as basic to their own psyche as reassigning their sex, their gender. California, though, is one of eight states, along with Illinois and Maine and Minnesota and New Jersey and New Mexico and Rhode Island and Hawaii, as well as Washington, D.C., that have passed laws that prohibit discrimination based on gender identity. Now, coming along, Oregon is going to join that list on January the 1st, 2008, and the legislatures of Vermont and Iowa and Co. have passed bills that are awaiting their government's signature. So this is... See, I told you I could find some good news. I didn't find it all by myself. Someone sent me this. I can always find the bad news, though. But anyway, Daniels is the... apparently not the first sport transsexual to emerge from the sports world. Back in 2003, there was a fellow, Chris Carl. He was a sports writer, and he was a columnist. He had something called Baseball Prospectus, which was at the time the gold standard for baseball analysis. And came Christina. And at the time, he wrote that nobody batted an eye. It was ultimately like no big deal. Now this is just very interesting. This is coming from the sports reporting, from sports news, folks. Now, if you're talking about the players themselves, now transsexuals as players, oh no, they don't have those kind of benefits. Oh, they get that's a whole different thing. You know, it's remember it was a big deal just to have a lesbian tennis player. A transsexual in sports would just be amazing. And there's lots of information about various states and which states prohibit you from changing your sex in the birth certificate. Apparently, Idaho, Ohio, and Tennessee still prohibit you from changing your sex on the birth certificate, even if you've had the complete surgery and the series of hormones and all the things that takes. I don't know all the things it takes. We'll have some more transsexual guests on the show from time to time, because I'm pretty ignorant about it, but we sure learned a lot from the woman that we did have in the show. By the way, Thailand has become a haven, transsexual or trans or sex reassignment surgery, SRS, it's called sex reassignment surgery. And also there's a small town in, don't tell, focus on the family, there's a small town in Trinidad, Colorado. Oh, Jesus, I shouldn't be saying this in the air. No. Focus on the family must not have found out about them, but it's known as the gender reassignment capital of the United States. And I'm not sure all the details why, but it must be friendly to that sort of thing. And Trinidad, Colorado, never heard of it, not sure where it is. But we are near, focus on the family. Yes, I hope they are nowhere near there. So... As we come up on the break, you're listening to Strictly Confidential, toll-free at 877. Oh, wait. I am so sorry. Do I still have caller Jim on the line? I'm so forgetful. Do I still have caller Jim? Jim, are you with us?
You do.
Jim, I'm so sorry, sweetheart. I was just going to do that one little bit about I've forgotten how what you see. You see the state I'm in, and I was going to tell him something. It just went to something else, and I forgot. Jim, I'm sorry.
Not a problem. Good evening, Mrs. America, and all the kids. Let's go to Fred.
How are you this evening?
Reasonably well. And yourself?
I've got a little bit of a sniffle, and I'm trying to remember to turn the mic off when I go sniffle, but I don't always remember to do it. I so need an assistant. I really do. Doggy means well, but she's not good with switches.
Well, my regards to your canine friend. Just a few comments, if I may, please, sir.
Yes, sir.
You know, as far as this thing in the Colosseum in Rome, you mean the Carabinieri don't have anything better else to do? My God, the last time I was in Rome, I remember at the Colosseum as being the scene of the Campfire Girls. You ever heard of those groups?
Well, no, I haven't, but I have been reading that kissing in Rome is like, you know, as common as pasta, that, you know, straights kiss, and it's just like, that's the norm. And so what is this Gestapo it was apparently a whole attack force that came down on these guys.
Just say pas. But, you know, I can remember, Lord, that's where the ladies of Easy Virtue would hang out in the Colosseum. And when it was cold, I mean, they would actually build little fires to keep them warm.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, it is. I've seen those fires burning. Thank God they weren't the ones that Diocletian and some of the Julio-Claudian emperors would light, or Nero, you know. But anyway, I guess they've come a long way since then, right, Peter?
I guess so. It just seems so out of character for a place like Rome. You'd expect the capital of the whole European thing of...
Really.
But maybe they were too close to Vatican City. Maybe the Pope saw them out the window. Maybe that's it.
Oh, I don't want to even go there. But anyway, I'll tell you, you were talking about this film called The Small Town Gay Bar earlier.
Yes, it's called Small Town Gay Bar. Amazing movie.
Now, there's a documentary out. It's about a bar at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the home of the 82nd Airborne. And it's an alternative bar, which is, you know, quite popular among everybody there. And, you know, the documentary emphasized the patriotism of these people, since it is the headquarters of the JFK Special Warfare Center and also the 82nd Airborne. And it was a very interesting thing. And there's another movie out called Soldier Girl. And this one is in, I think, Fort Knox, Kentucky. And it's a true story about this soldier who falls in love with a transgender person and who is subsequently killed by one of his fellow soldiers. And it's,
It seems like I came up when we had when we had Sherrod Greer from Service Members Legal Defense Network. It seems like I came across that story again. That's familiar. Somehow or another, I associated with that. He started visiting a little gay club up there, didn't he, and he met her?
He did, and eventually wound up on the 4th of July, or the day after, being bludgeoned to death with a baseball bat.
I remember that now. And he was in some sort of a barracks, I think.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, there you are. Fort Bragg and Fort Knox. So, you know, what can I say?
No, that's a shame. I had forgotten about, you know, I remember people like Matt Levitch but there was the fellow, too, who was, I remember it happened in Japan. He was beaten to death. There was something that happened in Japan. He was beaten to death in a men's room or something that his military people followed him around and killed him. Do you remember that story? I wish I knew more details on that.
It was very, very bad. And just today I saw a documentary, or not a documentary, I think it had Glenn Close, the story of Marguerite Cannonmeyer, the colonel of the National Guard. And it was very good. But anyway, these things abound. But tonight it's the Joan Crawford Festival on TCM, so I can't wait to see Joan put on her shoulder pads and go to it in berserk.
Yes, Joan gives us all hope, doesn't she?
So we're going to transition from Tallulah to Joan Crawford. How's that?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Now, that is a true trans. That's a true trans story. I'm sorry, I don't mind it. But that, yeah. That's good. That's
Joan
very
Crawford was the best friend. You know, Joan Crawford just came. She was a shop girl from Texas. Her real name was Lucille LeSueur. And they actually had a contest at MGM to give her the name of Joan Crawford. But they had to rename Lucille LeSueur to be Joan Crawford.
You know, that's interesting. That it seems I must have read that, because that name is so unusual. It sounds very very familiar. You don't hear that every day. I must have read that somewhere when I was a small homosexual sitting on my daddy's knee.
Okay. Well, listen, I hope you're going to be feeling better and the weather is going to treat you better. And, you know,
Okay.
I do my hats off to one of the hardest working people in show business tonight. That's you. So I will give that supreme accolade to you, because I know you work very hard to do what you do and get what you're trying to get across to people. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, I love you, Jim, but thank you so much for giving us a call this evening.
And thank you for your time.
Yes, sir. Good evening to you. You know, I have had a track here I was going to been meaning to use this for almost a week. This is what happens. I send tracks to the studio, and I'll say, tonight, this is the lesbian track of the night, or tonight, this is the track of interest, or this is the dance track, and then we just march right by it. We don't play it because of all the other things we do. But tonight, I'm not going to miss it. This was sent in by one of our listeners, and it's an absolutely beautiful song. Now, I feel like probably Bob and Agnes are probably going to use at least some of this on their show, too. Their show. Yeah, it's definitely their show. Bob is nothing without her, let me tell you. Anyway, this is a track by Holly Near, and it was sent by one of our dear listeners, and I absolutely love this song. It's our lesbian track of the night. It's by Holly Near, and it's called Mountain Song, Kentucky Woman.
I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. Now with me watching, you may drive a big machine, but I was born a great big woman, and you can't just take my dreams away without me fighting. It's so mountain raised my many daughters. Some died young, some are still living. If you come here for the taking a mountain, well, we ain't come here to give it. I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. Now with me watching, no, you can't just take my dreams away without me fighting. No, you can't just take my dreams away. Kentucky woman, Appalachian dream. Survival in the process. been since first I was my mother's daughter, and you can't just take my dreams away. Now with me watching, no, you can't just take my dreams away. Without me fighting, no, you can't just take my dreams away.
Wow. Absolutely wow. That is an amazing track, and that is by Holly Near. In fact, the entire CD has some amazing music on it. I have a little wire problem here. I'll fix that in a moment. It's making a little bit of noise against the headset. Not a problem. We shall be very careful with it for the time being. Thank you so much for sending that track in. And just amazing. That voice could slay you. Just amazing. Speaking of Singapore, which we weren't, on Friday, they banned a gay rights forum in which a Canadian law professor was going to speak. It's the second time in a week that the city has forbidden an event. forbidden love. This is now the time to play forbidden love, but that's the DJ thing. It's a whole different subject. In any case, it's the second time in a week they have forbidden an event that dares speak of a gay issue. If you'll recall, they just recently banned the... remember I was talking about it the other night. There was a exhibition of photographs. There were 80 photographs, and the photographs were of gay men and lesbians kissing. Now, people were all fully clothed. They were just kissing, and it was part of supposed to be a gay pride event. But in Singapore, they said that it's images like these that promote homosexual lifestyle, and it cannot be allowed. Oh, that lifestyle. Mm-mm-mm. In Singapore, they say that our laws are an expression and a reflection of the values of our society. Your values, maybe. Oh, that's right. We're not part of society. I remember now. And they are saying that the discourse over domestic issues, such as laws that govern homosexuality, in Singapore must be reserved by Singaporeans. In other words, they're objecting to this Canadian law professor who's coming to speak. And Singaporeans is your word of the day. See if you can fit that into a sentence tomorrow. In any case, they are saying that foreigners should refrain from interfering with our laws. And this all comes amid city and state debates of whether gays should be decriminalized. You understand that you could still go to prison there if you're caught in the privacy of your own home, whispering in another man's ear, or whatever they do in bed. I'm sure I don't know. And let's have a look here. Oh, yes, and in the Gloria Gaynor department, we've got a male version of Gloria Gaynor. Remember we did the story on Gloria Gaynor? Made all of her money in the gay community with all those wonderful songs, you know, Honey Bee, and there's a whole long list of them. Well, we've got one of the village people is a cop, so it's no great loss. Whatever, he never blew my skirt up anyway. But one of the village people is now melting down and having a real big hissy fit. He was the front man for the village people. He was the cop, and he's written a tell-all book detailing his frustration with the flamboyant gay bandmates and how they ultimately caused him to give up the group. Yes, he's trying to make a comeback, you see, and now he is saying that that YMCA was never meant to refer to gay cruising, and he is trying to say that it was never intended to be an innuendo, and that many of the homosexual fans read it into the song. Oh, boy, he's really distancing himself. We're homosexuals now. We're not gay folks, where he made his money. Do you know that a man still receives almost $1 million in royalties from the songs that they did? You know, they're still played. Here it is. Here's the reference. He still claimed he still receives nearly $1 million a year in royalties. Amazing. Y'all didn't know that they were playing Macho Man that often, did you? Somebody is. I wish I had it uploaded to the studio. Of course, there was in the Navy. There was YMCA. I have a wonderful remix of YMCA, but that's beside the point. He said that the YMCA song, they're talking about having fun. with the fellas. Not, they don't mean the boys, they mean the fellas. And he goes on and on to this, anything that has to do with homosexuality and how everybody just misunderstood the village people. So there you go. The village people have now joined Gloria Gaynor in the I Never Touched the Bitch stack of stories. And it's the top of the hour. It's the 10 o'clock top of the hour, and we'll head on to the news and come back with our guest. And this is Peter Godbold, Strictly Confidential.
This is the Quality News Network. The House has passed a bill authorizing up to $250 million in federal funding to reconstruct the interstate bridge in Minneapolis that collapsed earlier this week. The Senate is expected to pass a similar measure. Legislation was needed to bypass a $100 million mandated cap on federal emergency spending. Authorities in Minneapolis discovered a fifth body under the twisted wreckage of the collapsed 35 West Bridge today. As many as 8 people are reported still missing. At least 100 were injured. First Lady Laura Bush visited the disaster scene today. President Bush visits the site tomorrow. Minnesota officials may have known as early as 1990 that the bridge was structurally deficient. Experts have rated an estimated 12% of the nation's bridges, that's more than 75,000, as structurally deficient. Current repair costs are estimated at $188 billion and could take decades to complete. A U.S.-led global warming summit will be held late next month in Washington, D.C., seeking agreement on greenhouse gas levels worldwide. President Bush invited European Union members, as well as the United Nations and 11 other countries. This weekend, President Bush meets with Afghan President Hamid Karzai at Camp David. They're expected to discuss the South Korean hostages still being held by the Taliban. House Republicans left the floor today in protest of Democrats' failure to vote for legislation denying welfare benefits to illegal immigrants. August recess begins tonight, and House members have been trying to pass several pieces of legislation before leaving for several weeks' time. The House overwhelmingly approved a bill allowing the import of cheaper prescription drugs from Canada, Australia, and elsewhere. All imported medicines must be FDA approved. In London, a suspect who was badly burned in a botched car bombing attempt at Glasgow Airport last month has died of his wounds. He was never questioned or charged in the incident. Leaders from Darfur's broken rebel movement have begun talks in Tanzania. Mediated by the United Nations and the African Union, the talks could lead to peace negotiations with the Khartoum government in the coming weeks. We'll take a look at science and business news that's just ahead, but first this message from QNN.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address and city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
The FDA is warning consumers not to eat certain brands of French-cut green beans because of concern they may be tainted with the toxin that causes botulism. The green beans were manufactured by Lakeside Foods of Wisconsin and packed in 14.5-ounce cans. Cattle being raised at a farm in Surrey, England, have been infected with foot and mouth disease. British authorities have placed a ban on all movement of livestock in that country. A 3-mile perimeter has been put in place around the farm. NASA announced the Space Shuttle Endeavour's launch will be delayed by a day. Engineers are working on fixing a leak in the crew cabin. The shuttle now expected to take off next Wednesday evening. Labor Department reporting last month's unemployment rate rose to 4.6%. That's a 6-month high. Ford Motor announced the recall of more than 3.5 million vehicles because of concerns over a cruise control switch that may cause fires. More than a dozen types of cars, trucks, and SUVs from last 15 model years are recovered by that recall. Light sweet crude oil trading at $75.85 a barrel. At this week's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 281 points. Landing at 13,181. The NASDAQ down 65 points at 2511. The S&P 500 down 39 points at 1433. More at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
And he's back, riding across America on a horse named Strictly Confidential, a man who knows his way around a pair of chaps. Here's your host, Peter Godbold.
And welcome back to this second hour of Strictly Confidential. I am your host, Godbold, and I am glad to be with you and to have you with me on this Friday evening. And we will be joining our guest, Jeff Anderson, in just a moment. Jeff is running for city council seat in Duluth, Minnesota. As I said earlier, the Republicans beat us up daily. The Democrats never say a word unless directly questioned, and then it's always some sort of mumble-jumbled legislative doublespeak in the middle of the road, sort of, but not quite, you know, sort of one foot in and one foot out. At least that's what we've come to expect. In other words, if we're going to get anything done, we're going to need to do it ourselves. This is, we're going to be interviewing GLBT candidates across the country. If you recall, we had Kevin Beckner with us the other evening, who's running for Hillsborough County District 6. Jeff Anderson is running for a city council seat, as I said, in Duluth, Minnesota. Now, Jeff got his start, or his first job, I assume he start is all wrong. Let's start over here. Jeff got his first job at the age of 10 years old. And as best I can tell, the man has not stopped since then. He has been a member and past chairperson of the Duluth County Development Committee, vice president of the Duluth Housing Commission, a member of the Duluth Charter Commission he's currently a member of, or has served as a member of, the board of directors of the Second Northern Lakes Food Bank. And by the way, I've seen pictures on his website. Not only is he serving as the board of directors, he actually is in the kitchen with bowls and stirring and dealing with. He's a hands-on kind of guy. He is the Duluth Legacy Endowment Fund, the Duluth Playhouse. The list goes on and on. I don't know where to begin to tell you about this fellow. He is veteran of the Minnesota Army National Guard. He has been in radio and television for a number of years. The man has actually interviewed Charles Kuralt. He's interviewed Mike Wallace. And, in fact, he's even worked for Charles Kuralt after Kuralt bought W-E-L-Y. And I have to jokingly, I know that Jeff is online, so he's hearing this, so I'm not saying anything behind his back. I didn't realize he had such a long list of credits in the broadcast industry, or I might have a second thought about it. But in any case, Jeff, you are so welcome to the show. Welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us, and I'm so glad you could join us tonight. Jeff, according to what I'm seeing here, you would be the first openly gay elected in Duluth, should you win. And also, from what I'm seeing here, you have a darn good chance of doing just that, because you have the endorsement of the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Can you tell us about your history and about the endorsement and about all the things that are going on? We are all very interested in what you're doing, and mighty damn proud of you, I might add.
Well, thank you very much. It's the campaign is going very well, and I was very pleased to be able to get the endorsement of the DFL party. In Minnesota, we do it different. We're not just Democrats here. We're Democratic Farmer Labor Party members. So having that in a community like Duluth in northeastern Minnesota really helps out with an organization. And I've just been very active in the community for many years now, and am pleased to be able to I guess, step forward and seek elected office, and I hope that we can continue to do great things in Duluth. Duluth's a wonderful, very progressive community, and I was surprised to find out that I would be the first openly gay elected official in Duluth. I actually never really gave it a second thought. I had assumed there might have been someone in that position previously, but I guess we're opening up new doors for people in Duluth, and I'm proud to be able to do that.
Apparently so. And in going through the information on your site, that the fact that you're an openly gay, or will be the an openly gay elected official is really the very least of your concerns. You seem to be genuinely concerned about the community, as it shows with your work with the harvest, the food bank, and your other activities. Tell what's going on in Duluth, and from a political point of view, specifically the gay community there. Are there issues that you're trying to help with them, or is it more of a community wide thing?
Well, when I decided to run, and really with all of my activities in the community, I've always done it as a concerned citizen who really loves this community. I moved here from a city I grew up in, which has a population of about 4,000, in about 7 miles away from the Canadian border. And I grew up there, moved to Duluth to go to college at the University of Minnesota Duluth when I was 18, and have been here ever since. And I always joke that I grew up and wanted to move to the big city, and here I am, even though Duluth itself is only 86,000 people, not terribly big, but everything I've always done has been focused on the community and how we can work together and help people, not just people per se from the GLBT community, but people from every different part of our community. And so doing this, I've done all of these things, and I happen to be gay, so that's what's been refreshing about this campaign, is that the fact that I'm gay hasn't really come up as an issue, because we're focused on doing all of these other things. The reason I'm running isn't because I want to be the first openly gay person to serve in public office in Duluth. It's because we have great things that we can do for every sector of our community. But speaking specifically about GLBT persons in Duluth, we've come a long way in just the last several years. I think the Duluth this year will be celebrating its 21st Pride Festival, 21st annual Pride Festival over the Labor Day weekend. And it's really become, actually last year, I believe, it was voted best small town pride in America by Out Magazine. It's become more accepted by the community. It's become a welcoming event. It's really been embraced over the last few years. Whereas I can remember being 18 or 19 years old and reading the newspaper and seeing letters to the editor that would say how this was a horrible thing and we shouldn't be doing this. And that attitude has really changed in the last few years, which I think says a lot for the community. We are a very progressive community, and there are certainly challenges in the area of GLBT rights, but I think we've made great headway in Duluth and in Minnesota.
Well, I have to tell you, Jeff, this is incredibly good news, and it also echoes what Kevin was telling us from his race in South Florida. He's just not, and apparently you're not either, getting any kind of guff or any sort of attacks against your campaign or you personally or against your plans or claiming you have a hidden agenda simply because you happen to be a gay man. This is an experience that Kevin is having also. You know, from a from our perspective here, you know, we're constantly covering things like the latest release from the American Family Association, our focus on the family with the distortions and the half-truths and complete outright fallacies that are distributed throughout, you know, their mailing lists and forward this to the next person and murders that are happening around the country. So we are thrilled to hear this, and we're a little dumbfounded, too, that we just don't know how to answer, because I want to say to you, but Jeff, aren't your tires slashed in the morning? But Jeff, don't they throw you when you drive down the street? This is just amazing news for me personally, and I think for the listener.
Yeah, it's something that, preparing to run for office, I expected there might be some negativity associated with this, and one of the more conservative anonymous blogs in our community has mentioned it, but nobody has taken a step past that where they have attacked me in any way for it. And I don't know if that's going to happen, and I certainly hope it doesn't, because I think we have big enough problems, not just in Duluth, but in the state of Minnesota and in this country, to worry about rather than whether somebody's gay or straight or black or white or what have you. And I hope that our politics here, I'm an optimist, so I hope that maybe we've moved past that. I wouldn't be surprised if between now and the primary in September and the general election in November, if something was to happen. But I even had a discussion with a newspaper reporter here in Duluth who said, you know, we understand there's been some people who blogged about the fact that you're gay, but we really don't even deem it to be incredibly newsworthy right now, unless you're attacked in some negative way. They said, clearly it's not the reason you're running. It's not that you have this particular agenda and you're running for public office. It just happens to be that just like somebody might happen to be married with three children, you happen to be an openly gay male. And that, to me, is refreshing. This, considering a political climate just 5 years ago in Duluth, where we had a mayor who would not sign a proclamation for the Gay Pride Festival in this community. Over the last 4 years, we've had a mayor and administration that's been very open, very welcoming. We have a Chamber of Commerce that's been welcoming to our Pride Festival and to people who come from out of town to enjoy such a thing. And we live just 2.5 hours north of Minneapolis, St. Paul, which has one of the largest GLBT communities in the country, I think third or fourth largest. So we're a community that, both with our colleges and universities, as well as our tourist population, has a large number of gay men and women who come here and who are welcomed. And I've pointed out in this campaign that I think that's not just important to just who we are, but it's also an important factor in economic development. There's a professor named Richard Florida who's written a number of books on this topic. There's certain factors that help with economic development in communities, and being a welcoming and open community is something that is important for people who want to start a business or for companies or industry that want to move to a community. Because a community where two men or two women can walk down the street and hold hands is a community where, say, a computer geek or I'm using names being stereotypical, but people who might not be, you know, your quote-unquote norm, those people will fit in and feel welcome and be welcomed.
Very good point. And I, too, have seen some information along those lines. That communities that are welcoming of GLBT folks tend to attract more arts people there who are music. There's more music. There's more cultural things, venues. And these are important to people who are considering moving to any given area. Is there anything to do but go to McDonald's? Is there anything to do but sit home and watch television? Well, these things happen in progressive communities. And I think people are beginning to catch on to that. Not the least of which is that for so long, 8 years now, it's been this sleight of hand thing. It's like, Look, see, it's the homosexuals. Look over there. Look, see, it's brown people sneaking over the border that's ruining your lives. Where, in reality, what's going on is the country is being decimated by the current administration, to help mincing any words. And it seems to me that people are maybe starting to catch on to that. If so, this is great news. People are actually starting to look at the issues and no longer are being distracted by all of that noise. I'm hearing you say that.
Yeah, I think people right now are hungry for vision and for leadership on every level of government, local, state, and certainly national, because we haven't had it. And I think we're lucky in Minnesota to have a number of very progressive leaders that sort of deliver that. But at the same time, we're still lacking that in many areas. And I don't think that it matters to people right now who you are, who you might share your home with, or again, what your race or religion or ethnicity, any of that is. I think they're just hungry for somebody who can put forth some sort of bold vision for not just our community, but hopefully our state and our nation. I mean, you talked about, you know, the response that our community gets from elected officials, Democrats, specifically in Washington, many times it's just silence. And I think that's actually can be said about more than just our community. I think it can be said about the healthcare debate. I think it can be said about how we treat people of low to moderate incomes in this country, how we deal with poverty. We have the time when people threw out the gauntlet, when somebody like JFK said, you know, we can send a man to the moon, the time of us talking big and then acting on those pledges and promises has sort of gone away. And I think that's sad, that the modern state of politics is very sad. And I think the nation is hungry for that kind of vision and that kind of leadership. And I'm just talking about Duluth, Minnesota, but I'm hoping that I think that's what I'm bringing to this race, is a clear vision of our city and where I'd like to see our city in the next 10 years. And I don't think it matters to people, again, necessarily certain aspects of my personal life. It's about how their city is going to look in the next decade, from whether it's just streets and infrastructure, or whether it's job creation, or whether, again, it's a welcoming type of community. We have many issues affecting the GLBT community, just in terms of say domestic partnership benefits. I think because the national government, the federal government, seems to take a back seat to issues like this, I think on the local level we need to sort of send the message back up the chain of command that says we're going to tackle this here, we're going to serve as an example in the city of Duluth or in our county or in our state and be a leader in this particular area. And those are some of the things that I'd like to bring forward that recognize and benefit all groups of people again.
Well, Jeff, that is a very good point that you made regarding my comments about we can count on the Democrats to remain silent, and you expanded that to include, for instance, health care and so many other areas. Very well said. And I had not expanded it to cover those other areas, but it seems to be true. This air of caution. It's almost as if the folks in the House and the Senate, at least in Washington, still think that that they are in the minority. I understand they're in a precarious position with having to meet the voting enough majority to get this or that across, but. But you're very correct in saying that it does apply to more than just the gay community. And I'm wondering here too about, you seem to have it's such a strong background. It seems to me you've been volunteering for years. It seems to me what I'm getting at, Jeff, in a roundabout way, is your resume is stunning to run for what you're about for what you're doing. And you've demonstrated CERN with the community with the Second Harvest. And how is employment in your area? I mean, I'm tying this in the sense that homelessness, Second Harvest, shelters, and, and your sense of being a responsible citizen and volunteering, how is that all going in your area?
Well, I'll say first that when it comes to volunteering and things like that, my upbringing was one that actually my father was laid off from an iron mine when I was a kid, and we struggled as a family to get by, and I always remembered that. I never knew we were poor because we never went without, but we certainly, my parents worked very hard and struggled during the late 70s and 1980s in an area of the country, northeastern Minnesota, that was very economically depressed. And so I've always believed that it's sort of paying your rent for all of the things you've been given, volunteering, giving back to the community, and that's what's motivated me. And in a community like Duluth, where we have a higher percentage of people living in poverty, we have a higher percentage of low to moderate income jobs for people, say, than the rest of the state. Actually, we have a higher poverty average than the figure is higher than the national figure. So this is an area that I feel very strongly about, and an area which we need to work on. We have in the country, I think, as a whole, the haves and the have-nots, that gap has grown wider over the last 7 years. And in Duluth especially, we have an industry that is strongly based on tourism. And a lot of the jobs, whether it be a hotel housekeeper or a wait staff, don't traditionally pay people a wage that allows them to buy a house, raise a family, especially if you're a single parent. And that's an area which we need to work on. And in Duluth, we have a thriving aviation industry, healthcare industry, and an education industry that I want us to focus on, because those are the jobs, those are the areas in which economic development and job creation is going to have the greatest impact on people, on all of our citizens, so that they can, you know, at the end of the day, live the American dream. The American dream, I think, has been lost in the last decade for so many people. And when I knock on doors, I've knocked on over 3,000 doors in Duluth so far this summer.
Wow.
And most people, when it comes to politics, are concerned about their property taxes, the street out in front of their house, and their safety. And they haven't given a lot of thought as to who their next city councilor is going to be, or even their next mayor. Or, you know, the politics is not, for someone like me, who's a political junkie and kind of a geek in that area, I mean, I love politics and government and public service, and I read about it, I think about it, I talk about it all the time. But for most yeah. Americans, for most people, it's not even second or third on their list of priorities. It's way down at the bottom. And so I think it's important that the people who are interested and the people who have the means to be able to stand up and to say and to shout out that all of these things are happening that are wrong, they need to do that. And in Duluth, we have a very healthy democracy, I'd say. We have 8 people who are seeking office in this race for city council. There's 2 seats open. I'm running against 7 others. 2 of us have been endorsed by the DFL party. Our mayoral race this year, there's 12 people seeking that position. So we have a lot of people who are very concerned about our community, and I would say that every one of them is very genuine in their concern and in their what they want for our city. We differ on how to get there, and in some respects we differ on what that ultimate goal should be, but that always motivates me, to see people who are so concerned and who love their community and who love their state and their country. I just can't help but want to continue to foster that in our communities. We have so many great things that go on every day in not just this community, but in every community across the country. I think that it's sad when these issues like Iraq or healthcare or poverty sort of look so big and daunting that we might for a while believe we can't tackle them. I think we clearly can, and I think we need to. And I think it's important for people on a grassroots level in cities like Duluth, Minnesota, and in communities like this to really start talking about these things and to talk louder and louder, because if there's one thing I've learned in broadcast and in sales and in marketing, it's the the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know, it's the people who ask for it, the people who talk about these problems, are the people who are going to get results.
Jeff, that is well said, and I have to say to you, you know, these issues such as poverty and homelessness, they do seem huge and almost unsolvable, and there's no way to approach it. But I think we're basing that on the fact that nothing has been done about it for so many years. The relief programs and health care for lower income folks has all been a huge joke. And we've also talked about on this show and other shows on this network about how it's actually in the best interests of, for lack of a better word, in class, to keep people in to do away with the middle class. Because when you have a home where the dad is working and you have the mom working, sometimes mom or dad will be working two jobs, and you've got some kids and you're trying to pay the bills and you're trying to keep the lawn mowed. When you've got that much going on, you don't have any time to pay attention to politics. You become completely removed from it, and the only time you have to pay any attention to any of it is maybe you might catch a little bit of what we here on this network call the corporate media, which is not necessarily presenting the news in a way that is in your interest. And I'm very pleased to hear that you have so many people running. It seems you have a lot of interest there. I'm just impressed with some of the things I'm hearing here.
Yeah, it's we do, and what makes me sad about the state of affairs in the country is in Minneapolis 2 days ago we had a huge bridge that collapsed. Five people have been killed, 100 people injured in Minneapolis, and now all of a sudden everybody's paying attention to our infrastructure. Everybody's talking about, well, we have all of these old bridges, we have these issues that have been identified time and time again, but now all of a sudden, because of this disaster, we're starting to pay attention to them. It's what commonly happens, I think, in America today. When something happens where it affects you and me, all of a sudden we start to pay attention. And the people then in Washington and the people in Minnesota and St. Paul start to really pay attention too. I would like us to certainly have these great debates and these conversations ahead of time so that when we're confronted with an issue like aging infrastructure, we take care of it before we have a disaster, for lack of a better word, a disaster like this one in Minneapolis. The same thing can be said about the disaster that is healthcare in this country, and I think the same thing can be said about the rights of every American. We start to pay attention when it affects us, and I think we as people, as individuals, need to take the time out of our schedules. And I know everybody leads their life differently and has different priorities, but we need to take the time to educate ourselves at least about something that's affecting us in this world and take action. It might be as simple as writing a letter to the paper or even voting. In Minnesota, I have to tell you, this is one of the perplexing things about running for office in the state of Minnesota, especially in Duluth. We have voter turnout in the 80 percentile. The city I grew up in Ely, has 96% voter turnout in many years. So we have a very active community. So when you're out campaigning, you literally have to knock on every door because everybody votes in a community like this. So I'm saying this knowing that even in our own community, people do vote, people do get out there, but I think we even have to take it a step further and really be activists to some extent in various areas. And I mean, I've chosen over the last several years to be very active in the area of fighting poverty in northeastern Minnesota through my work with the Duluth Housing Commission and the Food Bank. Raising money to try and fight these problems, but there's so many other things out there that need to happen. This year, I actually is the first year I've been involved with our GLBT Pride celebration. I actually wrote some grants for the committee that organizes that this year, trying to incorporate some more sponsors of the event. Showtime and Charter Communications in this area have become a big sponsor this year, as well as some others in an effort to show the community that this is an event that is a family friendly event. This is an event that the entire community can get around and be a part of, and that's an issue now that I've chose to work on and have sort of been very excited to work on this year. So I always encourage people to really sort of light a torch and to try and lead in some way, shape, or form. And in Minnesota, I think we do a good job of it, and I hope that across the country we start to do a better job of it, whether or not not mattering what the issue might be. And that's where our conservative friends have had a leg up in the last decade, I'd say. They organize very effectively and are very motivated by certain key issues. You know, the running thing in politics is God, guns, and gays, you know, motivate the Christian right. And I think on the left and for progressives across this country, we need to find those issues that really motivate our base and get them out there, knowing that, you know, I truly and passionately believe what we're talking about and what we're saying and what we're working for is the right thing, and it's at the right time, and we just need more people out there leading as well as following foot soldiers on the street getting these things done.
Well, Jeff, I have to say, we have a chat room, and I monitor it fairly closely when we have guests on. I can normally judge by seeing, looking at the conversation there to judge how folks are very, very impressed with you. There are people who are saying things like, it's a man who speaks his mind, they respect him, that you're not towing the party line, there are people wondering about everything from the fact that you wrote a grant and helping to you're just amazing. There's one specific question though regarding religion in your area, and apparently you're not really having a problem with the Christian community or the so-called Christian community, as I normally refer to it, beating up on you. Is it mostly Lutheran in your area? And obviously there's lots of Southern Baptists down here, you know, so obviously there's lots of fallout about this sort of thing down here. So is it primarily Catholic? Is it primarily Lutheran? And how are there any issues along those lines?
We're a very Scandinavian area. I mean, many of my family came from Finland and Germany, and I'd say most people in this area who were born and raised in northeastern Minnesota have some sort of Scandinavian descent, and we have a lot of Lutherans, a lot of Catholic. I'm Catholic myself, and I go to church at our Catholic church. I have a lot of I would consider myself interesting in the fact that I've done things you might not typically think of, you know, a gay man. I mean, I was in the military. I go to church very regularly, and the reason I do these things, especially going to church now at a very conservative Catholic church, is I think it'd be very easy to go to a church that might be more welcoming or practice somewhere else. But I think it's important to stand up in a church like that and to show people that I'm Jeff Anderson. I'm just a normal guy who does my thing, happen to be gay. I'm not a monster. There's nothing to be scared of. And that's how I view a lot of things in a community where we're very progressive, but we have a lot of traditional values. And Minnesotans, I think, are very passive-aggressive people to some extent, where they don't get in your face about things. They're not going to pick at you or protest you or send you hate mail. They may say things in the privacy of their own homes or in conversations to their friends, but I would say that's a big part of why we don't see things like that happening in a community like Duluth. At the same time, though, I want to say that we're a very accepting community for many of the same reasons. People, I have some very conservative, right-wing Republican friends in this community who are some of the most welcoming people who who are very welcoming to gays, people of different color and ethnicity, and so it's a unique community. I don't know how to describe it and compare it to the rest of the country, but we're very welcoming, and that's what I like about this place. That's what I like about northeastern Minnesota. And again, I say that's what surprises me about the fact that I'm the first one who's actually running as an openly gay candidate. It surprises me that it hasn't happened in the past.
Well, Jeff, I hope you realize, and I'm going in this direction, but you must know that this wasn't pre-planned. I did not know that you had a background in broadcasting and all of that before you two. I knew you were would be the first kind I knew about what you're running with, but I didn't really until I started going into your bio and what have you know about your background in broadcasting. Now, although this is a slightly different direction, I must ask you. Something like the Head On Radio Network. How do you grow? How would you? What would you? How would you recommend that we grow something like this? You have a strong background in radio marketing and develop and apparently writing grants, this sort of thing. What would you say to as to a fledgling radio network?
Well, that's an interesting question. The radio that I've done. What's that?
I said, yes, sir, it did come out of left field. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. The radio that I work in is very mainstream, and I work for corporate America, which is certainly all about, I think, putting out the most bland product you possibly can and hoping for mass appeal. And I think people have been trained to sort of accept that. So when I hear of and see networks like this, even the Air America radio networks and others that are progressive. I'm not exactly sure of the way to go forward marketing them and such, but it excites me because, you know, again, our friends over there on the right, our conservative friends, I always try to be very politically correct. They they have ruled the airwaves. Much too long, and I think it's time that that the progressive people of this country step forward and support ventures like this in broadcasting, which most importantly, I think, connect people from all different parts of the country and all different backgrounds. And again, it's very exciting because to me, the bland radio products that we hear so often on radio and on television talk programming just bore me to death, and I'm happy that there are groundbreaking programs and networks out there like this one that again connect.
Well, Jeff, let me ask you this: do you think that progressive talk even has a chance in the mainstream talk radio? I'm talking about terrestrial radio, given the ownership demographics of the station. Do you think that progressive radio even has a chance in terrestrial? We sometimes are pretty pessimistic about it. And of course, we stream to iTunes, and we have a large number of listeners, and all those things. But we can't help but notice that yes, indeed, the right is completely dominating the airstream.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that pessimism comes with good reason, and I have some experience with some progressive programming that I didn't make it in Duluth, and the biggest reason is because our company, the company that I worked for, had some progressive talk on, and it financially wasn't cutting it. And I think the biggest reason is because most of your mainstream advertisers who support this type of radio are more conservative business owners and individuals. And the other folks who are progressives who own business haven't been trained to know this type of programming and to support this type of programming. I think anything like this requires a certain level of training, not just of the audience, but also of the people who financially will support you. And the market is out there. The listeners are out there. The people who want to hear from sponsors and advertisers are out there, and guests, and they're all out there. It's just, I think progressive talk has been absent from public airwaves for so long, in sort of this mass the mass way that conservatives do. I think people aren't trained the way that, say, people on the right who listen to a Rush or a Sean Hannity might be.
Well, one has to wonder about progressive listeners also. One has to wonder if it's also a matter of progressive of people and not just not getting it, just not getting how important it is to have 24/7 progressive radio out there, because, you know, the world is being heavily influenced by the other conversation that's going on, which really isn't a conversation at all. It's more of a authoritarian sort of a lecture and presenting disinformation. Some of us here wonder how much of it is really a matter of the progressives just don't get it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And in a world where you have certain corporate entities that control so much of the voices and so many of the voices that are on radio and television and even in print today, they don't know how that information is manipulated. And, you know, information is truly power. It is the most powerful thing, more powerful than money in this world. And if you look who controls the information in this country, it's a wonder there's any progressive talk radio or television or print in existence. So people do need to get it and do need to support it and listen and participate. I think that our way of life depends on it to some extent. It's very important.
Well, I agree with you, Jeff. And to head back into more, and now that I've walked you out of this little detour, and thank you so much for talking with us about that. Honestly, it was double feature bonus. He's not only running for office, he's a radio guy. Cool. So I want to point out to everyone that your information about you can be found at victoryfund.org. And also at your website, and your website I have here in front of me is votejeffanderson.com. Again, that's votejeffanderson.com. And by the way, Jeff, we've been posting the links to your site and information about you in the chat room. It's one of the things our chat room does is as listeners come and go into the chat, we post information, but obviously not everyone is in the chat room. In fact, many people are streaming this later on to suit their schedule or running it on their iPods, however they do it. So the site for you folks is votejeffanderson.com. I encourage you to go by there. You will be impressed. The man, one of the questions I thought about asking him when I first saw his site was, when has he managed to sleep? Between the ages of 10 and you're a young man. What are you, like 35? Is it?
I'm 30.
Oh, Jesus. I'm 54. So, oh, man. I'm impressed with you. You are doing a wonderful job in everything you do. And the people here in the chat room are thrilled with you. And I certainly do not want you to go away without just speaking to whatever you would like to. I've been asking various questions, but surely there is and by the way too, if you're able to make a contribution to his campaign fund, I strongly recommend that you do that. As GLBT people across the country, if we don't do it, nobody else will. The only way to do it is at grassroots. I don't care if this fellow was running for dog catcher. We need to chip in. So I would like you to stop by there and please consider sending in whatever you can. But I wanted to just leave the floor open to you, Jeff, to talk about what you would like to talk about.
Well, I just feel very lucky to really have this opportunity in a community like Duluth that I really enjoy and love, and would love to certainly put in a plug for Duluth, Minnesota anytime someone wants to come visit. We are a very welcoming and very open community, and Minnesota is a great place. We've had some just tremendous progressive leaders from Hubert Humphrey and the late Senator Paul Wellstone, who had the privilege of working on his campaign, his reelection campaign in 1996. He was an incredible leader. We have a state senator, Scott Dibble, who is, I believe, the only openly gay male member of the state Senate and a supporter of mine in this race. He's been very supportive and inspirational as I move forward. So I'm lucky, I think, to be in a state like Minnesota that, for all its, you know, traditional values and such, that it is a very open state, a very welcoming state, and a very progressive state. And I look forward to taking that to the Duluth City Council, and again, hopefully improving life for all of our citizens, not just one particular group over another, but every one of our citizens. So I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to speak to tonight's listeners.
Well, you know, Jeff, the questions just keep on coming. There's another question that, do you have any thoughts about the Al Franken race as regarding against Norm Coleman for U.S. Senator?
I do, and I actually, 2 years ago, our company, the company I worked for, I was active in getting them to become an Air America affiliate, and had the privilege. I somehow weaseled my way into being able to go to the airport in Minneapolis and pick up Al Franken and his producers and bring them to Duluth for a broadcast of their show. And I knew at that point he was considering running for the United States Senate, and as an activist within the DFL party was, you know, somewhat skeptical about what this guy, this comedian whose books I enjoyed and whose comedy I've always enjoyed, how he would be as a U.S. senator. And I spent 3 days with him and was extremely impressed, and have volunteered on his campaign since he announced back in mid-February. He is just a tremendous leader for progressives in the state of Minnesota, and I think nationally as well. And he does it with, of course, a little bit of comedy, which I think in a time when you have, again, those big issues that are looking us straight in the eye, from Iraq to health care to poverty, having a little laugh from time to time and lightening up just a little bit is good. And I think Al is going to do a great job. I hope that he gets the nomination of the party next year, and I will continue to support him throughout that endeavor. And I've talked to him about coming to Duluth and actually hosting a fundraiser in late September, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to do that, because he really is a tremendous candidate, and I think as people in the state get to know him, they'll find out that he's not just a comedian, he's a very intelligent, very caring, very passionate leader.
Wow. Well, Jeff, you amaze me. In fact, the way you have presented Duluth, you obviously, in fact, I would probably move up there, just except that I'm sure I'd freeze to death within minutes.
Right.
So I think that is probably denied to me as a future option. So I think I'll have to just stay down here in the heat and with the mosquitoes. But you have certainly impressed me, and you've certainly impressed the listeners in our chat room, and that tells me easily that you've impressed the entire listening audience. I want to make clear to you, Jeff, that you are welcome to phone into this program at any time, and I'll put you on the air right away. Of course, if there's a guest on, you know what I'm saying. But
sure.
But I will be. We have toll-free numbers. It's on the strictlyconfidentialradio.com site. You can normally glance at it, but you're welcome to use this program as a platform if you need to make any announcements or get out any new information. You are more than welcome to appear on this program at any time. You do not need an invitation, Jeff.
Well, thank you very much, and I would love to be able to come back and update you as the campaign moves along. September 11th is our primary, and November 6th is the general election.
Excellent. Jeff, you've been a wonderful guest, and thank you so much for spending so much this evening.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir, and good evening to you. Wow, another wonderful guest on this show. It's just amazing to me how much more stable and respectable the gay community as a whole is than I am. I guess I'm just going to have to straighten up and fly right. These guys are just leaving me in the dust. Just amazing. And the women too, and the transsexuals too, and the lesbians too, and all of our guests. And we thank them, because they are the folks that make this program what it is, which is, it's rather unique, is it not? Oh, my. Here I go. Wandering off behind the chickens. Let's see. It is 10:54. We're going to be leaving in just a few minutes. There's no point in going to a break. It's just not necessary. But the telephone, if you want to get in real quickly, it's 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877, the number 4, head on. And again, that was Jeff Anderson, candidate for council member in Duluth, Minnesota. Who knew? And I'll just get this in quickly. I have a few minutes. Oh, no, I won't. I have, oh, goody. I have Kate on the telephone. Welcome to Strictly Confidential, Kate.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Peter. Good hot interview. Ooh, honey, he is so good. I'm glad that he was on. Gives us a little bit of idea what the rest of the country is like. I heard somebody say the other day about Minneapolis, St. Paul is like, what is up with that? I mean, why would terrorists hit that? It ain't about nothing. It ain't nowhere. I mean, oh my God. I guess I'm a little bit, when I hear that kind of ethnocentric kind of stuff, whatever that word is, local centric stuff. I'm from Montana and originally, and I was raised on about the same parallel that Jeff was. He's from Ely, Minnesota, I heard him say, and I'm from Cutbank, Montana. And they were all Scandinavians, and they talked funny, and they were all Lutherans, and anyway, so it was good to hear. It was good to hear a queer with a Minnesota accent, honey.
No, wasn't that different? I picked up on that immediately when he began. I don't think I've ever heard a gay guy from Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
cool.
It was fun. If there would have been more of us in school, it would have been very cool up in Montana. Thank you for that. I know we're running out of time. I'm going to step on Cynthia here. No, you wouldn't let me even do that. Oh, and you said the bitch's name, too. Ooh, you could have just said GG. You're giving the bitch airtime. Do you have any idea what town in Mississippi that bar is in that you got to cross the bridge? That's the first.
Do you know, Kate?
I'm just going to go online and look it up. Because that's the first place.
Well, you know, it's the at the end of the movie, the bar has been went into disrepair, but he sold it to a lesbian couple, and they are running it now.
Oh, how?
And to be, I don't know that, but I still have the movie here. I haven't sent it back to Netflix, and I will watch it. And yes, you're going down there. I will get all of the information for you. I would love to have a telephone report from that club. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Especially if the dykes took over, honey. You know it's got to be going on. I'm going to take my black queen friends from Jackson County and just go right up there and bust that bridge. Well,
this is
the first thing I'm going to do when I get to the border. Oh, my God. That's so cool. Anyway.
Wonderful. Well, not only will I give you the name of the club and the name of the owners, I'll give you as much information as I can about how to get to the driveway.
Oh, I hardly ever need directions, but I appreciate it. I wanted to talk more about the Trinidad story, so I'll call in earlier in the week. And I wanted to... Trinidad's a cool little town. I'm surprised. Anyway, I see ELO's got the disco balls up. It's time to go. Time to hang up. Here comes Cynthia.
Yes.
Henry.
Dear sweet ELO, you got to love her.
Darling, you did a really good job. Love the interview. Loved you, Jeff, if you're listening in. And I'll talk to you later on in next week, Peter.
Thank you so much, and I'll have all that information for you. I certainly will. And good evening to you, Kate. Thank you for calling. And that wraps up another wild and wacky week.